So yesterday we heard about the universal form in great detail as described by Sanjaya and then by Arjuna. Yes, thank you. Some light maybe would be good. Srila Prabhupada explains the impersonalists, they emphasize the Virat Rupa, the universal form exhibited in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. But it is stated therein that the demigods are very much afraid of this form. And after seeing this form, Arjuna was very much disturbed. So how can it be the supreme form of the Lord? Because in all the shastras we always hear, you remember what we heard, when there is samadhi, what is accompanying the samadhi, what is the main symptom at the time of samadhi? Is what? The mind is fixed. It's happiness. Yes, it's happiness. An ending, an endless happiness when we enter the samadhi and actually see on the transcendental platform. So how can this Virat Rupa be the supreme form of the Lord, since it generates so much fear? Prabhupada continues, there is no question of loving the Virat Rupa. If Krishna comes before you in the Virat Rupa form, you will be so filled with fear that you will forget your love. That's what we see with Arjuna. So don't be eager, like the impersonalist, to see the Virat Rupa form. Just render loving devotional service to Shyam Sundar, Krishna. Yes? No, it's not that they are eager to see, but they emphasize this form. Why? Because they deny the personal form of Krishna. So for them it seems that this is what Krishna is revealing to be the absolute truth. Is that beyond this manifestation, there is all this fantastic generation of energy that goes on. So they emphasize the Virat Rupa as the revelation in the Bhagavad Gita. But that's because they don't want to surrender to Krishna as a loving person. Because this, we saw this, even though it is described in a personal way, it's decorated and we heard it has a mouth and the eyes and it has this and that, but at the same time, did it sound very personal? No, it didn't sound very personal. It was just an amalgamation of so many personalities and so many things. The mountains were there, the planets were there. So it is impersonalistic in nature, in some way. So, but mostly why they emphasize it is simply to avoid the actual personality of God. Then Prabhupada says, we have more or less seen Krishna as the Virat Rupa during wartime in Calcutta in 1942. There was a war that time between Pakistan and Bangladesh and India, 1942. So Prabhupada said, there was a siren. Siren, you say? There was a siren. You know, they would put this on when there was going to be a bombing. So he's talking of the bombing as the Virat Rupa. There was a siren. And we ran into shelter and the bombing began. In this way, we were seeing that Vishvarupa. And I was thinking, of course, This is also just another form of Krishna, but this is not a very lovable form. So there was bombing, and you could see all light explosions in the sky and fire everywhere and people being crushed and blood everywhere. So Prabhupada said, this was the Vishvarupa manifestation. A devotee wants to love Krishna in his original form. And this Vishvarupa is not his original form. Being omnipotent, Krishna can appear in any form, but his lovable form is that of Krishna or Shyam Sundar. Although a man may be a police officer, you have, has any one of you ever seen a book by Vishakha Dasi? In America, you have seen? Vishakha, Prabhupada's disciple. She's a photographer. She published a book illustrating through photography practically all the analogies of the Bhagavad Gita. And I always remember this analogy, the analogy of the police officer. She has a picture of a police officer, you know, shooting, ready to shoot, with an ugly face, you know, looking at the target, looking at the thief or something, and he's ready to shoot, you know, with his feet apart, and he's like that. And so listen what Prabhupada says. Although a man may be a police officer, when he's at home, he's a beloved father of his son. But if he comes home firing his revolver, the son will be so frightened that he will forget that he is his beloved father. So Prabhupada is giving the example of a policeman. So he's shooting thieves all over, and he has a very fearful form. Just when you see the police, you know this is like a... Because that's because I am a demon thief. When I see the police, I feel like grrr. So when we see the police, we know there is a power there. It's the power and order. This is Yamaraj, a department. This is something. But the policeman, when he goes home, first of all, he takes off his uniform. And of course, he doesn't go with his weapons. He keeps his weapons somewhere. And at home, he plays with his child. And the child doesn't know the fearful form of his father. He knows him only as a loving father. So Prabhupada explains that if one day somehow the father comes home with all his guns and everything, and he starts showing this kind of angry face of a police officer to his son, in front of his son, then the son will be scared. And he will forget. It will break his relationship. Naturally, the child loves his father when he is at home, like a father. And similarly, we love Krishna as he is in his eternal abode, in the form of Shyam Sundar. So this form is never loved by the devotees. Any other impressions from the universal form from yesterday? Any other... Yes? Sorry? Well, yeah, because he saw Bhishma. Yes, of course he saw, because he said Bhishma, Drona, everyone, they will all be killed except for you, the Pandavas. So that was the outcome. The Pandavas, he understood the Pandavas will survive. The other side, all the chieftains of the other side will be killed. But he also saw that almost everyone will be killed. Oh, this affects his free will. Well, we'll see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will still tell him, do what you like. Do as you like. You do as you like. I have given you knowledge. I have given you knowledge of who I am. There is a sound behind. that background was not there before. There's a background now behind it. Yeah. So we read this, how this affects the free will. Krishna gives us free will plus knowledge, and we have the freedom to decide according to the knowledge that we have. That is his mercy. So he's still free to choose and do what he likes, but now he has full knowledge. You know. So he will make a decision, informed decision we call it. He will make an informed decision. And the point at this stage will not be to win or to lose. The point is nimitta matram bhavasavya sachin, that you act in your constitutional position as my servant. This is the perfection of life. And Krishna has lifted Arjuna to a completely different level of who's going to win, who's going to lose, and you know, I like it, I don't like it. He has lifted him up to a completely different reality. It doesn't matter in all these things. No, what matters is that we act in our constitutional position, that we come to this point of knowledge and we perfect our life in this way. So now Arjuna is in a very different position from the very beginning. So this is Krishna's mercy, because without knowledge, free will is almost a curse. You know, because we'll keep doing nonsense. But if there is free will plus knowledge, then, you know, we have intelligence, knowledge, and we decide what we want to do. This is how Krishna has made the jivas. Someone else wanted to say something? Yes? Krishna's great love for his devotee. Yeah. Very sweet. See? Very sweet. Yeah, we have to see behind the whole manifestation, the relationship that is taking place with Arjuna, and don't forget that it's not just with Arjuna. The idea is that from Arjuna, all others, all the conditioned living entities get the chance to identify Krishna and get back to him. So yes, it's very kind on his part. Anything else? So then, do you remember what was the latest with Arjuna's mind and feelings? Where was he at? What was the mindset or the emotional state of our Arjuna? There was awe and reverence. There was wonder, awe and reverence. But what was the latest? It was fear. He was totally scared. He was trembling. He could hardly speak. He became very afraid to see that form. Frightened, disturbed. He had said, everyone is disturbed. And the devatas, although it's not that they were completely afraid. Who were the most disturbed? The demons. We will hear. They were really scared. Like for them it was like the end of everything. And the devatas were scared, but at the same time they took shelter. So Arjuna offers prayers. This is his reaction. Sanjaya, in verse 35, he describes Arjuna's reaction to the universal form, the vision of the universal form. So his prayers are up to 46. Sanjaya Uvacha Etachutva Vachanam Keshavasya Kritanjalir Vepamana Kiriti Namaskritva Bhuya Eva Krishnam Sagadgadam Bhita Bhita Pranamya. Sanjay said to Dhritarashtra, O King, after hearing these words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trembling Arjuna offered obeisances with folded hands again and again. He fearfully spoke to Lord Krishna in a faltering voice. So this is Arjuna's reaction to the vision that he had and to Krishna's words, who told him that I want you to become my instrument. So what do we have in this verse here? What is he doing? The body language of Arjuna here. What's happening with him? Vepamana is trembling. Trembling of fear and amazement, like he's not in his own state. And what else? Kritanjali means he has folded hands. So this, it's still this awe, the awe and reverence which has been created by that form, Kritanjali. Can someone diminish slower this fan here? It's too cold. And then Sagadgadam. Sagadgadam, what is that? This voice is choking, it's faltering. He can hardly speak out of these strong emotions. And what is his feeling is bhita, bhita. This is bhai. He's full of great fear. He's very fearful. Bhita, bhita. It is repeated. Great, great fear. So now what does he do? Namaskritva, bhuya. Again and again he is offering obeisances. To whom? Krishnam. Krishnam is offering obeisances to Lord Krishna. Physically, he's folding his hands, bowing down. We will see in the next verses, he falls flat on the ground. He's offering his homage, his obeisances, and he also starts to speak, offering obeisances by speaking. In this verse, Prabhupada says, he began to pray, not as a friend, but as a devotee in wonder. Interestingly, in this verse here, Arjuna is called by a name that we never heard before. Kiriti. Kiriti. What is Kiriti? It's a name of Arjuna who wears a celestial helmet called Kiriti. This helmet was given by Indra as a reward for vanquishing his enemies. So somehow, he is also wearing a helmet and he's putting his helmet down at the feet of the universal form. Maybe you like to hear the 10 names of Arjuna. This is one name. This is very sweet. Because I conquered many countries and collected their wealth, I am known as Dhananjaya. Very good. I never return from battle without defeating my enemy. And thus I am called Rantapa? No. Vijay. Vijay. Victory. His name is Victory. My steeds. Steeds means the horses. My steeds are white. And so they call me Shweta Vahana. Huh? Shweta Vahana. I was born when the constellation Uttara Phalguna was in ascendant. Therefore, I am Phalguni. Because I wear the brilliant diadem given to me by Indra, I am called Kiriti. I am dreadful to behold in battle, and so men call me Bhibatsu, frightening one, horrible. Terror is terror personified. I am named Savyasachin because I can draw the bow with either hand. Being unapproachable and irrepressible, I am known as Jishnu. Arjuna is my name because I always perform white deeds of great purity. And my father, out of affection for a black complexion boy, called me Krishna. So he also, one of his names was Krishna. So now Arjuna is going to offer his prayers. By seeing the universal form, Arjuna has realized all the knowledge that he had received in previous chapters. And what he does in these prayers is that he simply kind of repeats everything that Krishna had told him, but he repeats it not like a parrot now, but as a self-realized person. He has seen it, so he's confirming all what Krishna had told him before with his own realization. Arjuna uvacha sthane hrishikesh tava prakirtya jagat parishatya nurajyate cha rakshansi vita nidisho dravanti sarve namashyanti sasiddha sangha. Arjuna said, O master of the senses, Rishikesh, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. So what is he saying here? He's addressing Krishna. And he's actually saying that this universal form, it is a glorification of yourself. It's a glorification of yourself. And we had heard, what was the aim of Krishna telling about all his vibhutis? What was the idea?
To develop faith
and more than faith. No, not one reverence. Devotion. We had said remembrance, and also attraction. And this is what is happening here. It says, Jagat Prarishyati, the whole world becomes joyful upon hearing your glories. These are all your glories. It makes the world joyful. And of course, when we say the world, we mean those who are in favor of Krishna, the devotees. And as a result of seeing this, they become attracted to you. So who becomes attracted? The devotees. And they offer their obeisances, namasyanti. Whereas the demons, dravanti. They flee away, they run away in fear. So there are two reactions here to seeing the universal form according to one's relationship with Krishna, in devotion or in rebellion. And then Arjuna also says that Sthane, he agrees with everything that he has seen. We already heard that before, that I take it as it is. Everything you have said, I agree. So again here, he says Sthane. Sthane means rightly. Prabhupada says all this is rightly done. All this is rightly done. He appreciates Krishna's treatment of the demons, his treatment of the devotees, understanding that it's all good. At first he thought, oh, this is so horrible, all these crashing teeth and everything. But now within himself he understands that no, this is all good. It is Krishna's will. And Krishna is all good. So whether they live or die, it is all for their good. So on one hand, this universal form is very horrible and fearful. And on the other hand, for those who are really devotees, well, it is very attractive. Prabhupada says, Krishna's treatment of the devotees and the atheist is praised by Arjuna. In all cases, a devotee glorifies the Lord because he knows that whatever he does is good for all. Now, Srila Prabhupada, respecting his mood and mission, has given this translation of this verse a very special flavor. Arjuna is glorifying the universal form as Krishna's display, his potency. He says it's a glorification of you. But Srila Prabhupada has expanded on the word prakirtya. You see this word there, prakirtya. So guess what Srila Prabhupada has seen through this prakirtya. Instead of saying kirti, which is the fame, what did he see? What did he see? Instead of seeing kirti, what did he see? The name. He saw kirtan. Instead of seeing kirti, he saw kirtan. Kirtan. This prakirtya, it's the glories. But how do we? Somebody got bitten by the monkey, or? Oh, really? Poor Vishal. he's already half alive. Okay, Haribol. Come in. Is everything okay? Oh, we need the doctor. He's scared. So Prabhupada translates this saying, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name. Because ultimately, all what we heard, all these descriptions of the universal form, these were all names of Krishna. So this is how, this is the transcendental vision of the acharyas in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Their mind is fixed. So he found the holy name in this description of Arjuna here. One more information regarding this verse here. This is also, I believe, understood by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, the universe becomes joyful by the Sankirtan glorifying you. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says that this verse is famous in Mantra Shastra to give protection from Rakshasas. Oh, who? Oh no, Krishna. He got scratched. Oh, that's bad. That's not good. All right. Would you mind, Apurva Nimai, to go and see, inform the office there, make sure that he should connect with the office and they should figure out what to do. Take him right away there or something, because he's already completely weak, so, and these injections are not going to be good either, right? They're very bad. No, he says there's blood. No, well, you know, actually I heard it's also, they put anti-rabies, but I heard they don't really have the rabies, these animals, they have something else. But anyway, let them see, they will find out what is to be done. Krishna. So, maybe we should chant this verse one more time for protection against Rakshasas. This is a verse that can be chanted when we are in trouble with some Rakshasa attacking us. So let's chant it one more time for the benefit of Vishal. Sthane Rishikesh Tava Prakirtya Jagat Parishyatya Nurajyate Cha Rakshansi Bhitani Disho Dravanti Sarve Namasyanti Shasiddha Sangha. It's a bite. He has gone to the office. They are working it out together. Sometimes we go through periods, you know, when the stars are a little funny. He is just very sick, actually. He's very sick since weeks, and now he gets bitten by the monkey. Hare Krishna. Kashmat chate nanalameran mahatvam gariyase brahmanopyadikartre ananta devesha jagannivasa tvamaksharam sadasattat paramyat. O great one, greater than even Brahma, you are the original creator. Why then should they not offer their respectful obeisances unto you? O limitless one, God of gods, refuge of the universe, you are the invincible source, the cause of all causes, transcendental to this material manifestation. So again, he's confirming that everything is right. They are offering you obeisances. Why should they not? They are correct. The demigods are correct. Why are they correct? Because you are the Adikarta, the original creator. And what are the names does he give? Mahatman. You are the greatest, greater than even Brahma, and most magnanimous. Greatness, we hear many times, it's not meant to oppress, but it's meant to protect others and show magnanimity upon others. And you are unlimited, ananta. Ananta also means that you cover everything. You are everywhere, spread everywhere. Deva Isha, You are the God of gods. You are above all the gods. You are not one of the devatas. You are the source of all of them. Jagan Nivasa, we heard this many, many times. You are the shelter of the universe, the rest of the universe. And finally, he says, Aksharam Sadasat Tatparam, which means you are Akshara. We saw that before, the imperishable, the infallible. You lie beyond the material creation, beyond the three modes, Prabhupada explains. He is superior to all the conditioned souls within this material nature, as well as the material cosmic manifestation itself. So this is Akshar. He is beyond the material manifestation and is not subject to the laws of matter and is beyond the jivas. So this is his greatness. And because of all this, he is worshipable. So it is all correct. Arjuna thought that it was fitting that all the perfect living entities and powerful demigods offer their respectful obeisances unto him, because there is no one greater than him. Tvamadi deva purusha puranas tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam vittasi vedyam cha param cha dhama tvayatatam vishvamananta rupam. You are the original personality of Godhead, Adi, Deva. You are the oldest Purana. You are the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. Again, Nidhanam is saying again and again this fact. And because it was so amazing to see how everything is within him. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. Vetta, Asi, you are the knower, and Vedyam, that which to be known. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes, Param, Dhamma, O limitless form, Ananta Rupa. This whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. So interesting in this word, in this verse, is Tvaya Tatam Vishvam. Does this remind you of anything? Tvaya Tatam Vishvam. This entire cosmic world is pervaded by you. Maya tatam idam sarvam. That's why we said that he's repeated what he's putting in his own words, everything that he heard before with his own realization. This is the 9th chapter, verse 4. Maya tatam idam sarvam. Tatam means pervading, pervaded. And then vetta, he is the knower, the one who knows. And he is vedyam, everything that is to be known. Prabhupada explains, he is the knower of everything that is happening in this world. And if knowledge has any end, he is the end of all knowledge. Therefore, he is the known and he is the knowable. He is the object of knowledge because he is all pervading. So he is the knower and everything comes from him. So he is also the object of knowledge. So this we will be studying further in chapter 13. How Krishna is the knower and also the object of knowledge. He is Vedyam, the object of knowledge. And Prabhupada also gives a particular understanding of Adideva. Yeah, Adideva, the original Supreme Lord. It can be the first Lord, the original Lord. The Prabhupada says he is the chief personality, not in this world, in the transcendental world. Because the Adideva, he is not from this world. And here we are talking of Krishna, the original form. He presides over the transcendental world. 39. Vayu yamugnir varuna sashankaha prajapatistvam prapitamahascha namo namaste stu sahasrakritva punascha bhuyo pinamo namaste. You are the heir, Vayu, and you are the supreme controller, Yama. You are fire, Agni. You are water, Varuna. And you are the moon, Shashankaha. You are Brahma, the first living creature, that is Prajapati. And you are the great grandfather, Prapitamaha. So again, he is addressing Krishna, realizing him and more of his features. So he is the heir, and besides being the heir, he is also the devata of the air, Vayu. So he is the elements, and he is also the controllers of the elements. He is both. So whoever he is mentioning here, air, Vayu, Yama, Agni, Varuna, Shashanka, it is said they are just samples, examples of devata. But actually, he is all the devatas. So that's what he's saying. And we'll see in the next verse, he says, you are everything. So you are all the elements and you are all the devatas. Prabhupada explains, the air is the most important representation of all the demigods. Therefore, he speaks of the air. Because the air is all-pervasive. The air is spread everywhere. Just like Krishna is spread everywhere through his energy. So in similarly, the air is also all-pervading everywhere. So therefore, he says, he remembers that you are the air. Now, regarding the other elements, what is fire? In the Lord, it is the mouth. The fire is the mouth of the Lord. When we offer the oblations, we offer that in the mouth of the Lord. The water is considered to be the perspiration of the body of the Lord. This is how the original water in the universe, it comes from the perspiration of Gaudakashayi Vishnu. And it enters into the universes in the form of Ganga. And the moon, how is the moon very important to the living entities? Because the moon gives the taste. And without taste, everything is over, life is over. We need that. We need that taste. We cannot live with that. The essence of everything, the rasa. Now the moon here has been given a very special name. Did you see the name of the moon? Shashanka. It's very sweet. Shashanka. Which means, you know what it means, Shashanka? It means the one who is marked like a rabbit. Rabbit mark. When you look at the... it says that the marks on the moon, they look a bit like a rabbit. So next time you see the full moon, you can try to find the rabbit in the marks. This is called rabbit mark. Shasha Anka. Shasha Anka. This is the moon. So you are everything. You are the great grandfather, Prapita Maha. Usually Brahma in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, you see, Prabhupada had told us that the Lord is addressed as Prapitamaha because Brahma is addressed as Pitamaha, the grandfather. So Brahma is the original, so he's the grandfather of all the living entities. So people, there are people who worship Brahma. They worship him as God because he's the creator of all the living entities. But in the Shastra, Krishna is identified as Prapitamaha, the great grandfather who came before Brahma and from whom Brahma has actually emerged. So now, what is to be done in front of such a person who is so great? So, what to do? Offer your obeisances. What else you will do? He's overwhelmed with this awe. It's like too much, you know. It's too much. He understands Krishna. And if we could only understand the way Arjuna understands, that would draw our surrender to him and so on. So here, namo, namaste. So first there is nama, then there is nama, and there is sahasrakritva. 1,000 times. Double obeisances, 1,000 times. And then punaha, again, bhuya, again. Namo, namaste. So this is very beautiful. Namo namaste stu sahasrakritva punascha bhuyo pi namo namaste. It's full of unlimited obeisances. As many wonders there are of the Lord, as many obeisances can be offered. Nama purasta dhata prishtataste namo stute sarvata eva sarva ananta viryamita vikramastvam sarvam samapnoshitato si sarva. So now he has become completely bewildered in one sense. He says, he calls Krishna sarva. Oh, everything. Sarva is the name of Krishna, because Krishna is everything. Obeisances to you from the front, from behind, and from all sides. Oh, unbounded power. Ananda Virya. He is the power within everything. You are the master of limitless might. You are all-pervading, and thus you are everything. So you are everything. This is the basic realization here. Asi sarva. And you cover everything. Therefore, you are everything. So this reminds us of some other verse in the 7th chapter. Anyone can guess which verse this echoes? No, not Matta Parataramna. Something to do with Sarva. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. Not exactly that one. Jnanavan mam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvam iti. One who understands Vasudev to be everything, he surrenders. So this is what Arjuna understood here, that Vasudev is everything. Okay, now another emotional time for Arjuna, 41, 42. From fear and awe, we enter into what? No. Let me read. I'll read the verses and then you tell me what he's experiencing here. Sakheti matva prasabham yaduktam. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakheti, Ajanata mahimanam tavedam maya pramadam pranayena vapi yachavaha sartana sadkritosi viharasayasana bhojaneshu ekotavapyuchata tatsamaksham tatkshamayetvamahama prameyam. Thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly, presumptuously addressed you. Oh, Krishna! Oh, Yadava! Oh, my friend! Not knowing your glories, please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relaxed, lay on the same bed, or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, Aprameya, please excuse me for all those offenses. So what is his mood now? It's regret. He regrets, he realizes, wow, I used to pat him on the back. See who he is. So he's still, some fear is there. It's, the fear is still there, the awe is still there, but now there is regret, Prabhupada explains. Although Krishna is manifested before Arjuna in his universal form, Arjuna remembers his friendly relationship with Krishna and is therefore asking pardon and requesting Krishna to excuse him for the many informal gestures which arise out of friendship. He is admitting that formerly he did not know that Krishna could assume such a universal form, although Krishna explained it as his intimate friend. Arjuna did not know how many times he may have dishonored Krishna by addressing him, oh my friend, oh Krishna, oh Yadava, etc., without acknowledging his opulence. But Krishna is so kind and merciful that in spite of such opulence, he played with Arjuna as a friend, because Arjuna never knew, but Krishna always knew. And in spite of knowing, he sat with him, played with him, slept with him. What do they say, that sometimes Arjuna used to sit on the bed with Dwarkadish and Rukmini? When Rukmini, they were, Krishna and Rukmini were sitting on their bed, Arjuna would come and he would just sit on the bed. And now he's feeling so embarrassed, totally embarrassed. His head is down in shame. And he's so sorry, so regretful, because he feels that I have disrespected him. I have been so disrespectful. So in spite of such opulence, Krishna played with Arjuna as a friend. Such is the transcendental loving reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord. So he has been addressing Krishna, it says here, as, hey Krishna, what should he have said? Shri Krishna. Yes, that's how in the Vedic culture they address. Pita, Shri. Mata, Shri. That's respectful. In Hindi they say ji, ji, but they have forgotten the respect part. But we say ji. That's some kind of respect. So he should have said Shri Krishna, but instead of that he said, here, come here, Krishna. Called him like this. And Krishna means also, it is said that he saw him as the son of Vasudev. Who is Krishna? He is the son of Vasudev. And who is Vasudev? Vasudev was not a great warrior. This is an, you know, they lived in the society of warriors. So there were great warriors and there were small warriors. And guess what? Arjun's father was Pandu. And he was a great warrior. But Vasudev, the acharyas say that Vasudev, he was known as Ardharati. You remember? There is the Rati, the Maharati. So Vasudev was a Ardharati. One who did not sit alone on his chariot, used to share with another warrior. That was the status of Vasudev. He was not a great warrior. As we know, Vasudev was more a little saintly. And so he was not a great warrior. So that was the idea that you are just the son of Vasudev. Ah, look, I am the son of Pandu. He called him Yadava. What was wrong with Yadava? First of all, it says he should have called him best of the Yadavas, minimum. But he just called him Yadava. And the acharyas explained that actually this was a little demeaning when they would call him Yadava. Ah, he's a Yadava. Why? Because compared to the Kurus were a ruling family, ruling Vamsha. But the Yadavas, they were not ruling. So it was socially, this indicated inferiority in Krishna. So he remembers all this. Oh, how could I call him like this? And when I called him, because you know in Sanskrit, in the Vedic culture, they are very particular with their language. So when he would call him Krishna instead of Shri Krishna, he knew Shri is respectful. And when you say Krishna, you take out the respect. It's just a buddy. And Yadava, he's from that, you know, lower Vamsha. So they knew that. And then Sakha, hey Sakha, call him hey Sakha. Sakha means equal. So he says, you are so superior. You are unlimitedly superior. There's no one equal to you, no one superior to you. And I treated you either as an inferior or maximum as an equal. This is what I thought you were. And why did I do that? Pramadat. Out of foolishness. Ajanata mahimanam tavedam. I did not know your glories. Out of my ignorance, foolishness, negligence, I treated you like that. But also, O Krishna, pranayena, out of love. Because of this loving, because I love you, because of our relationship of friendship, I behaved like this and I called you by those names. So please, he says, forgive me, Achyuta. You are the only one. And then he explains something else. If only I had done all these things privately, it was easy to excuse. You know, when you make an offense to someone privately. But no, he says, Tat samaksham. Sometimes I did that. I actually joked with you and I actually put you down. In front of many people. Because amongst friends, you know, you make jokes and amongst kshatriyas, you like to somehow, you know, always show your strength. And so in front of many people, I did that. So please forgive me. Tat kshamaye tvam aham. I beg for your forgiveness. And he's completely disturbed. It is said that he is not even using the right form of the verb. He's using a different form of the verb because he's so disturbed. Now, Srila Prabhupada makes another point in the purport, referring to the relationship of Arjuna and Krishna. Because we see that Arjuna has, you know, he got lost in this vision of the universal form and he forget the friendship and he became afraid and awed and now he's... But then, in this verse, he comes back to friendship. He remembers the friendship. In spite of that vision, which is not yet ended, he's still seeing the vision. And at the same time as he sees that vision, he remembers the friendship. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this proves that the eternal relationship between the living entity and the Lord cannot be changed. And Arjuna is an eternal associate of Krishna who descended with him from the spiritual world, and their eternal relationship is friendship. They are related in friendship. Srila Prabhupada explains, the relationship between the living entity and Krishna is fixed eternally. It cannot be forgotten, as we can see from the behavior of Arjuna. Although Arjuna has seen the opulence in the universal form, he cannot forget his friendly relationship with Krishna. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse which is commenting on this ajanata, the fact that Arjuna did not know. It's 11:11:33. The verse says, my devotees may or may not know exactly what I am, who I am, and how I exist. But if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best of devotees. So it doesn't matter. The only thing as we know is Bhaktya Maam Abhijanati, Krishna wants Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yuve Bhaktya Prayachati. He wants that we serve him with love. Whether we understand him fully or not, it doesn't matter at this level. He wants that we should understand his desires, his feelings, his likings, but not particularly that he is God. If we understand that he is God, it's fine. And if we don't, that's okay. In fact, it's better. The word agyatva, inexperienced, lacking knowledge, indicates that sometimes a devotee may not have a proper philosophical understanding of the personality of Godhead. Or, due to love, the devotee may temporarily forget the Lord's position. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, in the past, I have addressed you as Krishna, Yadava, friend, without knowing your glories. Arjuna's words, agyanata, mahimanam, have the same meaning as Krishna's words, agyatva mam, in this verse of the Bhagavatam. Both indicate incomplete understanding of Krishna's glories. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, pranayena, his forgetfulness of Krishna's supreme position was caused by his love for him. So it was not a defect. It was actually, as we know, the covering of the internal potency of the Lord. In this verse, Krishna excuses such lapses on the part of his devotees with the word agyatva mam, which indicate that even though devotees may not fully appreciate his exalted position, Krishna accepts their loving service. Thus this verse clearly reveals the supreme position of bhakti. So this is very important for us as we serve the Lord, as we worship him in his deity form. We also commit so many offenses. We don't realize who we are dealing with. Like Krishna says, I have become handy for my devotee. I took that form of the Archavigraha so they can handle me. But in handling me, what they do, they forget. They don't fully know what they are doing. But if they offer me anything with a little devotion, I accept that. Although one may develop innumerable saintly qualities, without love of Krishna, one will not achieve complete success. One must understand the personality of Godhead as he is and love him. Even if one is not capable of analytically understanding the position of God, if one simply loves Krishna, then one is certainly perfect. Many of the residents of Vrindavan had no idea that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor did they know of Krishna's potencies or incarnations. They simply love Krishna with their hearts and souls, and therefore they are considered most perfect. So these are kicks to the impersonalists again, who consider that this realization that Arjuna had, that is supreme. But no, it was much higher when Arjuna related to Krishna as his friend. This a much higher relationship and knowledge of God. 43. Pitasi lokasya characharasya tvamasya pujyasya gurur gariyan natvat samostya abhyadika kutonyo lokatayepya pratima prabhavan. You are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is equal to you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power? So now he's again going back to what you actually are. I thought you are my friend, you're a Yadava, but actually no. You are the father of everyone. You are the chief. You are the guru of Brahma. And now you are my guru. You are Asamorudva. No one is equal. No one is superior. I believe Srila Prabhupada has added a little thing in this translation. These words, nor can anyone be one with you. I couldn't find that in the Sanskrit. Because he says, no one is equal to you, and no one can be greater. So Prabhupada makes sure that they, because they say, no one is equal, but you can become one with him. Once you are one with him, then you are great. So Prabhupada is he's filling the gaps. Nor can anyone be one with you. Okay. Prabhupada explains, the Lord is being paid obeisances in all respects. He is of immeasurable greatness. No one can be greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, because no one is equal to or higher than Krishna within any manifestation, spiritual or material. Everyone is below him. No one can excel him. And why is that? So Prabhupada quotes the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. It's because of his transcendental nature, his unbelievable, the unbelievable nature of his being. Natasya karyam karanam na vidyate, natachamascha vyadikascha drishyate. Lord Krishna has senses and a body like the ordinary man. But for him there is no difference between his senses, his body, his mind, and himself. Therefore his activities and potencies are supreme. So what is the consequence of this? Prabhupada explains in the purport that therefore, understanding this, we should come to the conclusion of our original position. What is our original position? Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Bhritya. We are all his servants. It is natural. That's the way it is. And Prabhupada gives two sentences, very definite sentences. Everyone is complying with his order. There is no one who can deny his order. So even though we seem to be doing what we want, and we seem to be, you know, going where we like, and things seem to be going against the grain, against God, against his laws. But when you take everything into proportions and see that he creates millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of universes, how big is our rebellion? It's not very big. So we are complying with his order one way or the other. We cannot overcome the laws of nature. So he has given us some freedom. And it's true, we have, in one sense, absolute freedom to decide, but at the same time, we are within him. So therefore, we are within his control. We cannot go outside of him. That is the control. So we should choose. This is our choice, how we want to serve him. Whether we want to serve him indirectly or whether we want to serve him directly. Now, verse 44. Tasmat pranamya pranidhaya kayam prasadayetva mahamishamidyam piteva putrasya sakheva sakyu priya priyayar hasideva shodhum. So realizing that Krishna is God, Arjuna begs for mercy and forgiveness. He begs for tolerance for his own mistakes. You are the Supreme Lord, to be worshipped by every living being. This is the duty of everyone. Idyam means worshipable. Thus, this is Arjuna's conclusion, and that should be our conclusion also. Thus I fall down, pranidhaya, laying down, it says, meaning that he is flat on the ground, offering full obeisances. I fall down to offer you my respectful obeisances and ask your mercy. And then he makes a little entreaty, because you have to get the mercy. So then he's trying to get Krishna to feel for him and give the mercy. As a father tolerates the impudence of his son, a friend the impertinence of a friend, or a wife the familiarity of her partner, please tolerate the wrongs I may have done you. So here Krishna is actually revealing the different relationships that exist between the living entity and Krishna. And in the name of that, of those intimate relationships, is asking to be excused. These are all very intimate dealings here, as we see. A father and a son, they are very intimately connected. A friend and another friend, the husband and the wife. So Arjuna is identifying himself. Out of these, who am I? I am friend. So as you, a friend forgives a friend, so please tolerate. Because to tolerate, that is the sign of greatness. As we have heard before, that this power is never to be used to oppress others. Power is meant to elevate others and to protect others. So Arjuna is appealing. Now 45. Adrishta purvam urshitosmi drishtva bhayena cha pravyatitam manome. Tadeva me darshaya deva rupam prasida devesha jagannivasa. So now it seems that as Krishna, Arjuna became involved in this vision of the universal form, at some point he could not see any longer Krishna's two-handed form. Initially, you remember, Krishna was standing in front of him and he said, just look, watch. And then this whole vision emerged for Arjuna. And now it seems that he couldn't see anymore Krishna's human-like form. So this is what he says. After seeing this universal form, which I have never seen before, I am gladdened. So now what is the next state of mind? Is glad. is experiencing joy. Arjuna is happy. Why is he happy? What a friend! You know, either one is proud for oneself or for one's friend. What a friend! So he's so happy to have such a friend, such an incredible, how could I be the friend of God? Wow. So naturally he's very happy. Another reason which is given is because his curiosity was satisfied. He wanted to see, and he saw. So he's happy. But at the same time, my mind is disturbed with fear. Oh. Why is he disturbed with fear? Well, this was the effect of the Vishvarupa. And that really scared him away because he saw so many fearsome aspects of that form. But what is something else? Why is he afraid? Some other reasons? What could be some other reasons that he is afraid? Yeah, he is afraid not to see Krishna again. He's lost the sight. He's lost the sight of Krishna's beautiful form as his friend, and he's afraid that he may not see that again. And he cannot relate to that universal form. So he's afraid to have lost that relationship and lost the vision. And what could be some other fear? Based on what he was just talking, offenses. He's afraid of some reactions for all his offenses that he has committed. So therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead. O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe. Prabhupada said, Arjuna is gladdened by his friend's opulence. But now he wants to see Krishna back. He wants to see Krishna. And then in the next verse, he is actually want to see more. He wants to see Krishna's transcendental form. Prabhupada explains that this form is definitely not loved by the devotees. The demons prefer to see him formless. Therefore, Prabhupada says they see him from the back. In the universal form, the impersonal aspect is in the back. Because the back, I mean, if you think of a person, the front side is kind of the personality, and, you know, when you don't want to talk to somebody, you turn around, you show your back. So the back is considered impersonal. So the demons, the impersonalists, it is said, they see Krishna from the back. So they can't see his face. The Lord turns his back to them. And so they think, oh, it's all light. It's all void, or it's all emptiness, or it's all one. But that's because they are seeing from the back. They are not seeing from the front. But Arjuna was seeing from all sides. He said, I offer my obeisances from the front, from the left, from the right, from the top, from the bottom, from all sides. So now Arjuna is going to request to see another form of Krishna. Prabhupada says, Arjuna is asking Krishna to show his Narayan form, because he can assume any form. So these verses are meant here, these end verses are meant to show that all forms come from Krishna. Here we have Krishna on the battlefield, and he shows the Vishvarupa, it comes from him, and then he shows the Chaturbhuja, and it comes from him. But of course, if you discuss that with some other people, they don't understand that. They say that the Chaturbhuja is the original form because that's how he appeared. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says Matta Parataram Nanya, and he's explaining that the Vishnu form with four arms is Ekam Sena Stito Jagat. It's my answer. So he's explaining these things, but some people refuse to understand that. Kiritinam gadinam chakrahastam ichhami tvam drashtum aham tatheva teneva rupena chaturbhujena sahasrabaho bhava vishvamurte. But now he's addressing Krishna. Hey Vishvamurti, hey sahasrabahu, addressing the universal form, because that's the form which is in front of him now. There's no more Krishna. He can't see. So he's addressing the universal form. Oh, universal form! Oh, thousand arm Lord, Sahasrachirsha, Purusha, Sahasraksha, Sahasrapad, Sahasrabahu. I wish to see you in your four-arm form. Where is that found? I want to see Drashtum Ichhami. Teneva rupena chaturbhujena, forearm, chaturbhuja. With helmeted head. So this is the form of Krishna in opulence, with a full of precious gems, helmeted head, and with club, wheel. This is Kiritinam, that's the helmet. Gadinam, that is the gada. And Chakrahastam, the chakra in your hand. And Srila Prabhupada adds, and also the conch and the lotus flower, right? Not just the chakra and the gada. Because what is chakra and gada? All these different weapons, it's for the enemies. So that, of course, he wants to see him with the club and the wheel to finish all these people on the battlefield. And so he wants to see this. But Prabhupada said, and also the conch and the lotus flower to bless the devotees in your hands. And Prabhupada adds, I long to see you in that form. So, Arjuna, he had not seen that form before either. He hadn't seen that form either. But he had heard about that form. Because now he has understood, oh, I had heard that before. What were people talking about Krishna? Where had this form been seen before? The four-arm form, when Krishna was born. Devaki had said that. Those who were close in the family, they knew that Devaki said when he was born, he had four arms. And he was decorated with the helmet and the chakra and the gada and the padma and the shankha. He had all these things. So Arjuna had heard. So now he said, why, it's true. And now you have shown me this universal form, but now I want to see that form. I want to see this four-armed form. There was another place also where Krishna had shown a few times in the Vrajalila, also he had seen to the gopis, and the gopis said, oh Narayan, have you seen Krishna? We don't care about you. Also in Akrurghat, he had shown to Akrura. They had gone to take bath, Krishna and Balaram. And while they were taking bath, they were taking so much time. So Akrura went to see, what are they doing? And when he came in the water, what did he see? He saw Shesha Nag and Vishnu. He was shaking his head. He thought the sun was too strong. But he understood that this was Krishna and Balaram. So he had seen that. So here he says, I want to see, and this form is not gonna, this is gonna be the eternal form, an eternal form, a transcendental form. So this is a spiritual form which is eternally youthful. As we heard, the Vishvarupa was not the original. Actually, the order is that Krishna expands into Narayan, and Narayan expands. Narayan and Vishnu have a similar form, and they expand into the Vishvarupa. So he wants to see actually the source of that Vishvarupa, understanding it to be a form of Krishna. All right, so we'll stop here. This was the prayers of Arjuna, and then now Krishna is going to give his reply and pacify Arjuna and us also. Any questions on this? Yes, Prabhu? Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha. It's Hiranyagarbha is Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, because who has a golden nabhi, because Brahma and everything, all the creation comes from him, and Lord Brahma is also known as Hiranyagarbha. And yes, this universal form within the universe, it emerges from this Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. So Hiranyagarbha is also, and he is the one who manifests this universal form. So he's known like that. The lotus is called Hiranyagarbha, the lotus where, yes, and it's from that lotus that everything, that lotus contains everything. Within the stem and within the lotus, everything is contained. So that's Hiranyagarbha, yes. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.